Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City, NPR News Talk 90.7, putting Delmarva first. It's time for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
The refrain on the presidential campaign trail has been, small business is the engine of job creation. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. We've heard this rhetorical flourish from both President Obama and his Republican challenger, Mitt Romney. A closer look at the numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics produces a slightly different picture. Jared Bernstein, who's formerly with Vice President Joe Biden's office, found that actually 29% of jobs created from businesses with under 50 employees. 27% are generated by medium-sized firms. That's between 50 and 500. And finally, 45% of the job creation comes from businesses who have employees of over 500. Nonetheless, a small business has been the focus of not only the campaign, but also tax breaks and government loans during this great recession. This morning, we'll talk to some small business owners to get a sense about how they see the economic landscape and indeed how they're flourishing in such a down market. In studio right now, we have Tim Curritan. He owns Rise Up Coffee here in Salisbury. Also should mention he is also an underwriter, which we certainly appreciate. And, well, Tim, first of all, give us a little history about how you got, when did you get involved with this business, and then how was that affected by the recession as it sort of came along in 2008, 2009?
Sure. Well, first, thanks, Don, for having me here this morning. Yeah, so Rise Up Coffee, we're 8 years old, coming up on our eighth year, and that's pretty hard for me to believe, really. It's been a blur, a very wonderful blur. But yeah, we started down in St. Michael's. It was just my wife and I who started the company. Rise Up Coffee is completely independent, and we're an Eastern Shore original. We get one of my favorite compliments is when people think that we're a chain or you know, some kind of corporation, a national corporation. But actually, we started right here in St. Michael's. We opened the Salisbury location. We're actually 5 years old this month here in Salisbury, which is a real thrill on Riverside Drive. And then we opened our third location this year, which is our roasting facility in Easton. So we're super excited about that. You know, it's been interesting. I tell you, the coffee industry specifically has was really hit hard with the recession, and there were turbulent times. For us, you know, we got to a point where in the beginning of 2009, we may or may not have been on the brink of another Great Depression, and I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, if that were to happen, that would be it for Rise Up Coffee. So, you know, things with the economy, we got, some level of stability there. And then on our side of things, we just kind of did a little soul searching and realized the only things that we could control were how we, you know, did our job and how we, you know, continued to be the best Rise Up we could be. So we just decided to do business as usual, continue business as usual, and focus on being, you know, these kind of little oasis in these communities where we are, a place that acknowledges that you exist, that's happy to see you, that puts forward the best quality we possibly can. And during this whole time, we have not sacrificed our quality whatsoever. In fact, we've made that priority number one.
And we're also now joined by Brian Brushmiller. He's with Burley Oak Brewery.
Actually, this is Tom Knorr.
Oh, it's Tom Knorr. Oh, okay. They didn't tell me about that. Tom Knorr, okay. You're Sobos, the Southern Boys Concepts. I understand Brian is coming.
Yeah.
So,
in
any event. also, you have Sobos Restaurant, as well as the Public House Evolution Craft Brewing Tasting Room in Salisbury. And so, you've been in business for a while. Tell us a little bit about your business, but also as you saw the Great Recession sort of hit in 2008 and 2009, how did you weather that particular storm?
Well, we started, I bought our first restaurant in 1996, the Red Roost. So we've been around for a while now. And after that, I'll just give you the brief on the company. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of got that going, got lucky with the purchase of that. Was able to make it happen, then parlayed that through a few more restaurants, Booney's Restaurant and Bar in Tiaskin, then Sobo's Wine Bistro, and then, let's see, next came a restaurant in Guatemala, which is a long story. And then we've got, after that was the brewery, our, which is my main focus now, Evolution Craft Brewing Company here locally. And then Specific Gravity. And then we moved, we actually moved the brewery from Del Mar, where we first opened up in Delaware, down to Salisbury. And then now we have the tasting room, which you mentioned, and the Public House restaurant as part of that, you know, manufacturing facility and everything. So that being said, throughout, I've seen a lot throughout all that time. And I guess, you know, the recession was tough. You know, we, you know, I don't think that we're completely out of it either. You know, we're, you know, we fight every day to make sure that we make sure that every guest that comes in our door is, you know, treated like their family, you know, try to make sure that, you know, that they do come back again, because, you know, every guest in our restaurant counts a lot. So we've realized that throughout the recession. I think we realized that before. It's kind of part of our culture of our company, but just trying to stick to the foundation of what our company was built on, which is, you know, education of our staff, from the top guy in the company down to the dishwasher, making sure that they all feel and their role is very important in the company, and then just making sure that they exude that to the guests, so that when people come in, that they, you know, they realize that we know that they have a choice when they're spending money, and that hopefully that they're making the right one. But it's been tough. We've been able to maintain all of our managers. We haven't had to really lay off anyone, which, you know, many times we probably should have financially, but we thought that if we stood by our people, and, you know, it would make us stronger as a company. So, you know, it's been really tough the last, I would say, since probably 2007, 2008. And I feel like we've seen some action the last year and a half that have kind of made us realize that we're coming out of it a little bit. So luckily the brewery is in a big growth industry, so that kind of holds us together. We're able to kind of, you know, if one restaurant's not standing as strong, we can help that one out from another company. So luckily we can, we've got that as an advantage.
And now, from just simply from a financial standpoint, obviously sure, there's a lot of marketing going on, but just from a financial standpoint, has anything been helpful to you during this recession? I mean, we, you know, because in, you know, on the political campaign trail, we hear everything from tax cuts to government loans to, you know, so on and so forth. Is there anything that financially that's been of greater value to you, say, than say something else has been, just in terms of getting through? I mean, you established, for instance, you moved the Evolution Brewery, for example. I mean, how does that work as you're looking at it from a business person?
Are you looking at what has been helpful to me?
What has been helpful, yeah, in terms of the financial.
I mean, on the financial side, a big thing for us would have been we were able to get a state loan through the rural economic development people here, which helped us purchase our equipment for the production facility. So that was a great help. Without that, you know, we probably would not be in Salisbury. We're able to work some deals out with the city to make sure that we were able to use this well that's on site at the new production facility. I don't know if you know the history of the building, but it's in an old the Ready Ice facility, which has been there forever and ever. And it seems that they just punched holes all over Salisbury till they found some really good water. So we have an amazing source of water. It's better than, you know, regular city water. And we don't have to filter or anything to make our beer. So that's been a big positive, and probably and helped us out financially as well, to not have to, you know, pay for, you know, a bunch of water. We still pay for it on the restaurant side, but not on the brewery side. So those, the loan and the well, as far as the brewery, have mm-hmm. really helped us, I think.
Tim, what about you? I mean, obviously, you know, when particularly a lot of businesses, when they're moving, particularly through these kinds of economic times, they have to take out loans, or they try to bridge themselves from, you know, good times to good times in between this sort of bad time. What was your situation like?
I think for us, it was having a local banking relationship, one that's a very good one with Talbot Bank, and, you know, they know us inside and out. They're our customers, and, you know, the president of the bank is It's really nice when you walk in and need to actually, speak with the bank, that you meet with the president himself. And Buck Duncan has been a good friend and advocate for Rise Up Coffee. And the times that we've needed a boost into the saddle, they've been there for us. For larger banks, we do have other relationships with larger national banks, but we just don't compute for them. And the bank manager is essentially feeding things into the computer. It's just much better to have a personal relationship and somebody who kind of knows you more than just your first name and actually knows your company inside and out.
What has been, there's a lot of talk now about tax cuts, and whether it's the upper income tax cut that's part of the Bush tax cuts. I know there's been tax cuts that have been directly targeted to small businesses. I think I saw one estimate that if you play it right, you won't pay any taxes as a small business person. You might even wind up in a negative territory. What role has tax cuts played in your success, or how they've affected you? Because right now we still have this continuation of the Bush tax cuts. And are there any tax cuts that came out of all the legislation we've seen over the last, say, 3 or 4 years?
I don't really have too much to say about that. Mm-hmm. We've really just kind of bootstrapped this whole thing, Rise Up Coffee, from the very beginning. And, we, to my knowledge, haven't received any tax cuts along the way. Perhaps that will change this coming year. We did purchase a property recently, so we're interested to see how that plays out. But for us, it's been more on the local level and not financially, but the local governments being supportive of our locations. We're talking about the mayors of these towns, our representatives, supporting us. I mean, at this point now, our little company employs over 30 people here on the shore. We're very proud of that. So we're hiring local. Our customers are local, obviously, and we're banking local. So, and we're spending local. So, we love to feel the support from our local delegates and our local governments.
What about you, Tom? I mean, obviously, as small businesses, you get obviously tax deductions for investment and that sort of thing. Are tax cuts of any form, whether it's investment or whether it's just the high end stuff that they're talking about with Bush tax, does that make any difference to you one way or the other in terms of whether or not your business survives or is flourishing? I mean, what role does that play, you think?
Well, I was an economics major, so. this is a philosophical view, I think.
Well, go ahead.
But it hasn't played a huge role for us. I definitely could see if we could get some, payroll tax cuts and things like that, that would really help. We employ all local people. We try to stand by our people, but, it gets tougher and tougher every year. We get slammed with more insurance. It's like we never had a claim in 18 years, and every year our insurance goes up 15-20 grand. I don't even understand that. So I would think it would help little guys like us get ahead, when I'm sure Tim's just like me. He makes no money out of his company. Everything goes back in. I guess we have the benefit of, thank God, there's deductions, so that we own most of our property, and we continue to have, we carry over losses and things like that as we, as we keep acquiring things like that. Tax cuts would definitely help spur on investment, quicker mm-hmm. investment in our company. There's things right now that would increase our sales, like just speaking of the brewery.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Tim can probably say on the same thing. He's busy too, but if I could afford 5 new fermenters at our present capacity, where we're maxed out, by having some more money in the company, that would be more beer that we could sell. That would be more people working in the brewery, provide more jobs in the restaurant, and it would keep growing our business. But it doesn't the way things are right now, it's looking pretty scary. you know, some of this insurance stuff coming up looks mm-hmm. really scary for a business of our size. I mean, we employ, you know, over a couple hundred people on the Eastern Shore, and you know, they're all run as individual corporations, but they kind of group us together. So we would get pretty whacked with this upcoming potential healthcare plan. So, yeah, philosophically, I'm a little bit scared, and I have a right to be because I bust my butt and don't have, you know, put it all back in the company. And it's like, you know, we'd like to grow our business more and give bigger bonuses to our staff members and things like that that would actually drive more business and, you know, create even a better culture. But yeah, it's a little scary.
What about you, Tim?
Well, I would echo some of the same comments that Tom just said. Definitely, we're reinvesting in our company constantly, and you know, we try to walk on our own 2 feet as much as possible, and not have to you know, go to the banks or find other outside lending sources. You know, for us, you know, we really stretch to compensate our staff. We have the best people working with us. And you know, for us, we're in the simplest form, our business plan is quality backed by quality people. So we're always trying to add quality people to the payroll. That's, you know, quite a burden at a certain point. So certainly help in that area would be beneficial. You know, we've been very fortunate to be so strongly supported here on the shore. Specifically, our Salisbury location really gets put through its paces on a daily basis. It's absolutely unbelievable what's happening there, probably right this very minute. And what Tom was just saying about reinvesting, I mean, we're going to have to do kind of a complete overhaul of that shop just to kind of keep up, which is really exciting. And trust me, it's a good problem to have. But when you have to find that money to do it, certainly any assistance that the state or federal governments could give us in that area would be super helpful.
Now, I want to turn to the issue of regulations, which obviously every business person, you know, they got to deal with. I wanted to ask you, I saw a poll, I guess it was in New York Times, CBS poll, which says 49% of, I guess, the people polled said the federal government regulates too much, 22% too little, and there are 19% that says that the federal government does it about right. Let's start with you, Tim. What's your feeling about regulation? You excited about that? In terms of getting your business through this cycle and doing what you need to do? Mm. I mean, is that like?
Well, you know, I think this is a bit out of my realm, but I'll take a stab at it. Sure. You know, for us, we just focus on, you know, being the best rise up we can be, serving the best cup of coffee that we can serve. You know, it doesn't give us much time to take a look around and try to, you know, figure out the larger problems of society. And, you know, to tell you the truth, what I'm looking for is, I mean, this is my, you know, one turn at bat, really, in business. I love it. It's my passion. And, you know, certainly any help that we can get along the way would be of benefit. But truly, I mean, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, essentially, if I'm not with my family, I'm focusing on making Rise Up better. So, you know, and that's on a very small scale, you know, and a larger scale. But, you know, it's all specific to Rise Up Coffee. So I apologize for not being able to answer your question more specifically.
That's right. And Tom Knorr, what about you from Sobos? What do you think a lot about? I mean, obviously you had to deal with a lot of regulations moving from Del Mar to Salisbury. What's your own sense about that? Because it is, I mean, one of the obvious questions is that yes, a lot of this may be problematic. On the other hand, we live in a society that's very, you know, interconnected. So yeah. What do you think? I mean,
I definitely think we need regulation. You know, Brian, who just showed up,
Brian Brushmiller from Burley Oak.
And my business, we actually deal with a lot of alcohol legislation through the federal and local government. Federally, it's federal regulations not so bad. I mean, we go through label approvals and things to just make us so we're in check and we're not doing something too edgy that might, you know, a little kid on the walking through the aisles of the store might not see some, you know, naked woman on a bottle of beer or whatever. But we don't really have any problems with on the federal side. They're pretty easy. For some reason, that entity, the TTB, is a well-structured government entity, because I know there's others that aren't so great. But they seem to be easy to deal with. On the local level, we have a pretty bad alcohol Article 2B. It's the mm-hmm. governing bill for all the liquor laws in the state. It's really antiquated. It's dated back to Prohibition, and it makes it really hard to kind of navigate the liquor laws in the state, especially for a guy like me that has a couple restaurants and a brewery, and trying to grow. You know, there's some barriers to growth that you have to maneuver around and mm-hmm. get laws changed. So it's legislation in Maryland on the liquor side's not so fun to deal with. I would say in Delaware when we were there, it was a lot easier. So, because it's pretty much just very easy to read, a couple pages. This one here is like thousands of pages.
A little complicated, okay.
Yeah, so.
I want to introduce, bring in Brian Brushmiller. He's with Burley Oak Brewery. And Brian, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about your company. And then also, I'm kind of interested in how your company has dealt with the recession. What impact has that had on you?
We have a little brewing company in Berlin. We're a lot smaller than most, and we brew beer, and I have to say the recession, I think, is I think it's over, you know. I think it's come. I think business is starting to come back. I just sat at the bar with a contractor who's been around. His family's been doing it for years, and he's asking me if I know anybody that, you know, that needs a job. So I mean, I think we have to start looking at it in a more positive way and start gearing up for that we're going to start being busy, but we have to not make the mistakes that that business has made in the last 10 years.
What mistakes do you think?
I think a lot of, you know, I don't think anybody knows what a rainy day fund is anymore, you know, like, you know, a savings account. And I think that goes rings true with most of America. I mean, I don't even know if there's any if people even have Christmas clubs anymore, you know, when you put money away for Christmas, everyone's so on credit, like, you can just go and buy whatever you want whenever. I mean, you know, or layaway, I remember that, as a child, you know. I mean, so these are the things that I think America has to do, and we have to spend with the money that we have, not the money that someone's willing to give us.
Well, along those lines, I mean, you started your business. What kind of role then did loans then play in getting this thing together? And what kinds of loans were there? Because obviously there's small business loans from the government. But also there are, as we pointed out, there are also loans from banks. How did that work out for you during this recession?
Yeah, no, I was very blessed to have three loans. All of them were second mortgages. So,
okay.
The first one that got it started was a local bank, the Farmers Bank of Willards. You know, took a chance on me, and basically said, all right, we think this guy can do this, and here's a small amount of money. And then I had the Worcester County Rural Economic Development Fund, which was sponsored by UMES and their Hawk Fund. That they have this fund, and it's there for small businesses, for businesses to either start or to help grow. And they help out a lot. I have to say that was probably the one that helped the most. And then Maryland Capital Enterprises, which is another.
And what is that?
It's another state fund.
State thing? Okay.
Where they're helping, you know, business to grow. We had this discussion before about, you know, they were talking about how we got to really working on unemployment and how these had this whole discussion with the governor at his round table, and all these Ocean City businesses were getting hammered by unemployment, and how you know how much they had to pay in unemployment insurance,
yeah.
Right. So I'll make this point again. Instead of trying to give these people money and unemployment, start funding people to start their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was either go on unemployment when I lost my job, or it was to start and make myself a job, you know? And subsequently, I've been lucky enough to make eight other jobs. And that's because there was some funding that the legislators kept that funding in line and said, all right, we're gonna give some more money to small business. We're going to keep these funds open and let them, allow them to loan money to these small businesses.
One of the discussions is that's been taking place, and I guess we touched on it a bit, is that there's a lot of emphasis on things like, you know, loans for businesses, for investment, tax cuts, and so on and so forth. But if, and as an economist, former economist here, Tom, the biggest problem, at least it seemed to for most people, is that it wasn't about taxes or being too low or whatever. It's about just the fact that there was a drop in demand, that people lost a lot of jobs, and that's where your problem was. And if there were more people who came in and bought your product, then you would certainly be better off. How do you, Tom? I'm going to pick on you a bit. How do you see this balance between, on the one hand, trying to make sure that you get demand out there, whether it's by government spending or whatever it happens to be, as opposed to, say, providing on the supply side of, say, tax cuts or loans, that kind of thing?
That's pretty simple. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, you put more money in people's pockets, disposable income through tax cuts, they have more money to spur on economic development throughout, you know, spending it buying coffee, buying craft beer at our brewery, mm-hmm. buying it over at Brian's place. I mean, to me, it's simple. A lot of people don't believe that model, but I believe if you took my paycheck and I made $500 this week and next week I made $600, yeah, maybe my bills being fixed, I'd have $100 more in my pocket if I was a responsible citizen and not borrowing everything. And I'd have $100 more bucks to go out to Evolution Craft Brewing Company and buy a meal. You know, I think it's a pretty simple model. Everyone kind of gets a little bit crazy with thinking, making it more complex than it is, but you put more money in people's pocket, they're going to go out and spend it, you know, being all things equal, if they're being able to pay their bills and budget their own money.
Tim, what about you? I assume that if you're looking at your business, did you see a fall off then? And as a recession hit, did you see a fall off in customer, or did you have a sense about that? What happened for you?
Well, you know, I think what we did was, again, stick to being the best rise up we could be. I kind of agree with Brian that there is a thawing out that's happening with our economy. And one thing that's happened, I believe, maybe because of the recession, is this kind of return to quality. And I think that there's a food revolution happening in this country where you're just seeing artisan companies spring up left and right. At least I am. Maybe, you know, I have my ear more to the street in terms of that. But whether it's the craft brewing or the craft roasting on our side of things, also, you know, smaller companies, especially in bigger cities like D.C. and Baltimore, there's a real focus on taking it back to basics. And I think people really appreciate that when a company like Rise Up or Evo or Burley Oak gives full effort and we're, you know, doing everything we can to put the best product out there. I think that gives folks peace of mind, especially here on the shore. They're so supportive if they feel like, you know, they can trust, you know, what they're throwing down their dollar for.
What about you? Tom? What do you think? You know, what do you see? Did you see a drop in demand for your service?
I mean, our brewery
period,
is
or,
you know our brewery.
Or is it just
I think that we're talking about a couple different things here, because mm-hmm. Rise Up opened probably, you know, a little bit maybe before Evolution, I think. So those type of businesses, craft breweries, these little startups, you know, that are kind of, I don't want to say new, but more niche, are killing it. We're doing great. I mean, we have way over double digit, you know, we grow, you know, at 50 to 100% a year. I mean, it's nuts. So those are great, but if you take it over the last 15 years and you look at the restaurants, you know, we really do focus on quality, all of our restaurants. I mean, it's the thing we do. But, you know, it's your question. I mean, are you asking how the recessions?
I assume that it did. One of the things, I mean, we'll sort of wrap this up here, but one of the things that has struck me is one of the interesting, by the way, dimensions between this and, say, 1990s and 1980s is the government spending in terms of employment actually went down while there was a massive government spending and the recession. One of the interesting things about this recession is that because of that fallout, we could have had maybe another million or 2 million jobs. And now, I guess I think we're at like 4 million, I think, now that since we got. But I'm going to wrap it up there because we got to go, they tell me. We've been talking with Tim Curitan, who owns the Rise Up Coffee here in Salisbury, amongst other places. All Tom Knorr with Southern Boys Concepts. And they have business arranged from Sobo's Restaurant to the Public House Evolution Craft Brewing Tasting Room in Salisbury. And also, finally, Brian Brushmiller, who owns Burley Oak Brewery. And we appreciate you all joining us. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit PAC-14.org.